The following podcast contains some strong language. Sorry. I mean effing sorry.
Okay. Oh fuck. Oh fuck, fuck me, oh. I should not look. Oh, and I'm already regretting what I said. I think I broke a key on my road. I think I broke my E flat. Oh, it's right there.
Hello?
Holy mother of Jesus. Can you expect me to talk now?
I think I made a few mistakes during my first few pilot podcasts, so I'm going to do this extra episode, which is going to be smaller, but we'll address all the little errors I've done. Let's start with the ZX Spectrum on episode 2. Right, initially I said I was not a sound engineer, and that is true, but I do know a heck of a lot about these retro things, so there may be terms that I know and take for granted but you don't, so lots of techno babble. Hopefully I won't be too harsh. I said it was the early 80s when computers through the TV was a weird thing. Yeah, maybe for Britain, but not for America. They got used to it for about 5 years because of the Atari VCS. And of course, the ZX was made good by British people. It was made in Britain for the British market. It never went anywhere else, unless you count the Timex Sinclair 2068 in America. Didn't go down well. Or the Pentagon, which was a Soviet clone because Soviets love people. I must apologise for Ghostbusters and that audio epilepsy that was called Prodigy. The AY speaker, the little 5cm one, you couldn't play music from games that used the AY chip that were released after 1985. Oh, the current microspeech wasn't all that it was cracked up to be. And, I'll just listen to this music. Yes, anyway, that is the music for the advert to the ZX Spectrum Plus, something that they released about a couple of years after the initial ZX Spectrum, with an improved keyboard, harder case, and little arms, and a few extra buttons, with a reset button as well. Still had the crappy speaker on it though. Looks nice though. Oh, and if you turn the Spectrum Plus upside down, all the keys fall out. Hehe. So, I suppose the challenge is to try and put them all together again, you know, prove your Spectrum ability. Anyway, moving on, episode 3 was about the Commodore 64. What I said, you might know more than I did last time. Maybe you do, but what I was supposed to say was something that I might know a bit more about than I did in the last episode. I'm sure you sort of let that slip. There was a difference between the SID 6581, done in 82, and the 8580, which was done in 87, because the 6581 required 9 volts of power, and every time you changed the volume it went... However, that could be a fourth channel. Believe it or not, you could use that as a percussive sound. The 8580, it didn't have that... thing, and it required only 5 volts. So, even though Commodores, after 1987, still required a power supply that heated like you wouldn't believe, and was probably the most important factor in how to break your back, because of its weight, is about a good 5 kilograms. It all required less power. Another example on the Sid versus modern music controversy. I did say in pilot episode 2 that Zombie Nation. Yeah, that's another example. However, I think they gave money to David Whittaker, and so everything was alright in the end. The Sid Top 100. I did mention it at the beginning, but then didn't carry on with it. If you look at the show notes, you'll find out that I've actually put a position on each Sid relative to the Sid Top 100. Right, the Sid in more detail. I did lie a bit to you about what waves were available. You have sawtooth, triangle, square, or noise. But it was still 3 channels, and it was 8 octaves, as opposed to 5 octaves. On the spectrum, sorry. There was a low pass and a high pass and a band pass filter. Yippee. You could also program the ADSR, that's attack, decay, sustain, release, if you know your music terminology. There was also some analog digital converters, so you could actually sample speech, although usually it was just to control the joystick or the paddle or the mouse, since that's what they're usually there for. Oh, and it had a random number generator just for the heck of it, really. I suppose it was for the noise, but yeah, just for the heck of it. Right, I think I'm done on that. Oh no, there's more. Remember when I said that guy in the advert was smoking dope? Found out he was taking crystal methamphetamine. Okay. Guyana Sisters, eh? Right then, knowing how slow it was on the Commodore, and knowing that it was released for the Amstrad, let's find out what it would have sounded like if they decided to put the tape-loading music on the Amstrad version, with its ultimately faster speed. Oh, hang on, wait. It had to slow down a few times just to load sprites and characters and little things. I forgot about that. Much faster, I must say. If you've actually looked around YouTube, you'd have found out that a few people have decided to push the ZX Spectrum to its limits, and yeah, that's how fast it would have loaded, because they've decided to overclock the Z80 to, what, the fastest it can manage. and they managed to load Manic Miner in 7 seconds, and that's the new world record so far. I think it's about 7.46. Going back to my little list of errors, Guyana Sisters, just a little bit extra. Rainbow Arts created it, and they were forced to take the game off shelves days after Nintendo threatened to sue them. And I think they actually did try to sue them, but because they took them off the shelves, it was a moot point. Whilst I was playing Guyana Sisters, I did say 300 Bald. Yes, I know. 300 Bored. It's named after Bordeaux. Tape loading 300 Bored. Oh, we're here for a long wait.
For the price of a Commodore 64.
$70.
Here's what you get from Apple.
$769.
From IBM.
$429.
For what it costs to add a Commodore disk drive. Apple. IBM. Add a Commodore printer. Apple. IBM.
This is becoming a joke.
Add a Commodore modem. Is it any wonder Commodore sells more computers than Apple and IBM combined?
Hang on, give me a moment, I'll just find out.
So, what do you think?
No.
Rather than compare personal computers ourselves, we asked the computers which one was better on the basis of price and memory.
Oh, you cheeky bugger.
The Apple preferred the Commodore 64. Then we asked the IBM, and it picked the Commodore 64. Then the Radio Shack chose the Commodore 64. That's what we like about our competition. They're so honest. The Commodore 64. What nobody else can give you at twice the price.
Are you keeping up with the Commodore?
Oh. Alright, I'll check.
Cause the Commodore is keeping up with you. In a world of fun and fantasy. And ever-changing views. And computer terminology. Commodore is news. Are you keeping up with the Commodore? Cause the Commodore is keeping up with you. Are you keeping up with the Commodore? Cause the Commodore is keeping up with you.
Inconclusive. Right, on to the final section, and that's the Amstrad CPC, my favourite. Okay, the AY38912 chip also handled noise, although I don't know what type of noise and what it was controlled by. I think it was square wave noise. Why was it called the Arnold? That was because it was the prototype. The prototype was designed to use the 6502 chip, the same one used as the Commodore 64. Ouch. Five Arkanoids were released. One and two were done by Imagine, and then Imagine decided to do an Enron, and so 3, 4, and 5 were released on the same year by a different company. Still licensed by Taito, so it wasn't unofficial or anything. Amstrad made the GX4000, not Atari, as I said, accidentally. Oh, and I got the channels incorrect. A was the centre, B was the left, and C was the right. Well, thank you for putting up with my little errors and little mistakes. If you want something to point and laugh at me about until May, June, July, August, September, I'm going to offer you a little free channel version of the game Super Wonder Boy. It's about 35 seconds long, done by me. literally. I'll give you the actual AY chip music before my crummy little version. So, what made all these pilots? It was a very temperamental Sound Blaster Audigy 2 card, and it was Audacity that helped as well. And for this little impromptu pod flip, it was the SoundMax Wizzy. SoundMax Integrated Digital High Density Audio. Whatever. High definition, actually. But anyway, if you are interested in the podcast when the new series comes out around May, June, July, August, September time, then please do become a fan of the podcast. You can find out on the actual page, it says become a fan. You can email me at podcast, PODCAHST, at podomatic.com. What else can I say? Just bye-bye, and see you on the next series, hopefully, if you want me to. I mean, I'll be sitting here until then. Bye. Ooh, we're here for a really good time. Excited, excited, excited. Go, go, go! Oh. Ow, tense muscles. Alright then, until the next series, someone can tell me what this tune is. It's a bit of an easy one. Well, in my opinion, it's an easy one. If anybody says crazy frog, I will kill them. Ring ding 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 ding.